Okay, let's continue. Up next, we have Javier Martinez, who at some point had reason to write a GCC plugin for something that he will tell us, I guess, and then eventually contributed this implementation upstream into GCC trunk without the plugin infrastructure. So please go ahead.
Thank you.
Let's put that here.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Really, really cool. It's a full room. My name is Javi. I'm a C++ developer at DRW, working on low latency C++. Before that, I did computer science at Cambridge and electrical engineering at Nottingham. So, you know, I'm into like low level performance kind of things. Also compilers is the reason I'm here. I've spent most of my compiler hacking time on OCaml, not C or GCC or anything like that. But I do have the tiniest of contributions to GCC, which was part of my internship with DRW, which is the topic of today. So kind of the whole thesis behind this is that most code is gold in an application. So if you see this code, there is, you know, it's testing if some pointer is zero. If it is, it looks like it's going to throw an exception, otherwise it's fine, returns. And, you know, to the compiler heuristics, this is, you know, the exception throwing path is clearly a very cold code kind of case. You know, it's an early return from a function, it's checking against zero, it's throwing an exception, fits all of the cases. So I guess if you were the compiler, and this is kind of funny to ask here because a bunch of you are the compiler, but if you were the compiler and you were to think about what you can do when you know that some code is cold, you can reorganize your branches for better prediction. At some point with Pentium 4, you could even have some hints for the CPU. That is not the case anymore, but you can at least make the likely case a fall through or a closer branch than the likely case. You can also optimize for size, and in my opinion, well, for my case, most importantly, what you see here is you can try to keep the called functions, well, you annotate them for the linker, as you see with the clone called, and you try to keep them together. And the idea here is that, you know, all of your called stuff is like far away, and it's not messing with your instruction cache when you're running hot code. So we wanted to do this. The hint to tell the compiler that something is called is the attribute called. It works on functions, and for my case, it didn't feel right, like the right granularity to express the called, because, well, I don't want to spray it on every single function or thousands of functions. And at the compile unit level, I can express the size, but I couldn't express the called hint. So we thought about writing a plugin. The mental model behind the plugin should be simple, like a preprocessor path that just, you know, you annotate a class being called, and it just goes through every function and marks it as called. So the way you write plugins in GCC is that you tell the compiler which points at compilation you're interested on. There's 27 such points. It actually gets multiplexed into more points because you can specify concrete optimization passes that you want to aim for. And then when you hit that point, the compiler just gives you a handle, and you can look and mutate data. So if you're new to this, you basically open that file or documentation, and one of these points is, you know, after finishing parsing a type. So, you know, it seems to fit my use case. And as you see, just in a couple lines, you get this pointer to GCC data, and it's a tree. Everything is a tree in the IR. And, you know, simple enough, you can access the, if the tree is a type, you can, like a union or struct or a class, you can iterate the type fields. If the type field is a function declaration, you know, sure enough, you just add the attribute. So as you see, you can get something like this going in just about 30 lines of code, and it's mostly boilerplate, which is really nice if you're new to it. And then the question is whether, well, if you want to go from a plugin to an in-tree patch, it's like, how difficult is this? Well, the good thing is that the data structures and the interfaces are all mostly just the same. So in my case, kind of my main problem was just finding the right point at which to do the work that I was doing in the plugin anyways. So you start browsing code. I remember there was something called class.c++. Sounds great. You look at the header comment. Sounds great. And then one of the functions says, well, this is going through a class, and it's checking the members and maybe adding some implicitly declared special members. So I thought this was the right place to add it. And surely, at the very, very end of this function, I do exactly the same kind of loop that I did before, just with a few more safety checks. You have to think about what happens if you're marking a class call that has some function that is already marked hot kind of thing. But yeah, that's it. It was a really, really simple transition from the plugin to the in3 patch. Surely there's a couple surprises. I think for me, the main pitfall is that this says it adds any implicitly declared functions. In reality, there's a few lazily inserted implicitly declared functions. So there is a second code path that has to repeat that loop. But other than that, you know, very simple, straightforward. And the whole patch is about 100 lines of code if you remove some documentation changes and tests. So yeah, I didn't teach you how to write plugins, but hopefully I told you that it's kind of a nice introduction to the topic. So I wrote a workshop that I guess I'll paste the link on Matrix later that guides you through writing your first plugin. So it's a custom attribute, a static analysis pass that just looks at the names of functions, and some instrumentation to basically call a login function. And this is all like packed in the exercise of writing an aspect-oriented C++ toy language, which I think is, you know, it's a cool exercise. But yeah, that's it. Thank you. I guess if we have any questions.
Was the code simplified on your slide where you added the code attribute, or is it the original code?
No, it's definitely simplified, but you're talking about this code?
Yes, because I was wondering whether it really makes sense to put get identifier code inside the loop.
Right, so the question was whether this code is simplified. It is simplified to some extent. This is indeed hoisted out. It's probably a couple more cases. I mean, this does not fully represent the exact code because I also had to check again if there was attributes already present. Perhaps something that I found surprising about this one is that this is additive. So you don't have to, you know, this is a list in GCC. So you don't have to like look at all of the past attributes and then concatenate the list and then pass it. This is aware of the existing attributes. So yeah, it's not exactly the same code, but close enough.
Other than hot and cold, what can you apply to an entire class?
We don't do this. Like, this patch is only for cold and hot. I could see size. I mean, well, size you can do with pragmas. You can do the always inline kind of thing. That is a common one. I guess you could start digging through attributes and encounter a bunch. Maybe visibility. Yeah.
Okay. Any more questions? Thank you again.
Awesome. Okay.